This is Charlotte's home for sports talk. WZGB Cramerton, Charlotte. ESPN 730. Broadcasting from the ESPN 730 studios in Uptown Charlotte. And live on ESPN730.com. It's The Bottom Line with Lanny Ford and Al Gardner. Join the show by calling 704-332-0173. Now, here's Lanny Ford.
And a good Monday afternoon to you. Spring is here today. Well, almost. Don't take it that it's 32 degrees and freezing rain and sleet outside. Don't worry about it. Give it till Thursday to be 70 again. Welcome to North Carolina.
That's when spring hits Thursday, right?
It's not going to be long. That's the official day. We are brought to you by Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Use Z-Max Micro Lubricant when you change your oil. Extend the life of your car's engine. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Big day planned for you here on Monday. Glad to have Al Gardner back in studio. You'll hear some promos coming up. We will be at the Davidson
Wine Shop, which is kind of right behind Fuel Pizza on South Main. My wife, as it turns out, is opening up a wine shop, and I asked Lanny, was it possible that we can do our broadcast from there? He said, sure. Absolutely. Sure. So this coming Friday, not only will we be on 3 to 4, but also The Pulse with Bobby Rosinski and Chris Allison. There'll be live music there, a keyboard guy. There's going to be a violinist there. A lot of good food, wine, prizes. And most importantly, we get to meet you. Face-to-face here on ESPN 730.
Hope you come on by. And a big day that we have here today, Dr. Bill Therfelder, from the president of Belmont Abbey College, is here with us today. We had him on earlier, and he was gracious enough to make the track over here from Belmont to be on with us. We also have, where's my other sheet, Al?
I got it right here. Hang on.
There we go. Dizzy Grant from the Harlem Globetrotters will be with us at 3:30. As the Globetrotters will be in town at 1 o'clock this Saturday at Time Warner Arena. You can get tickets at Ticketmaster.com or Arena Box Office, and we will have tickets to give away right here on ESPN 730. Dr. Therfelder, thanks for joining us today.
Well, and thanks so much, Al. I just greatly appreciate the time being with you here.
Oh, the privilege is ours. In your book, we mentioned this when we had you on a couple of weeks ago. Less than a minute to go. Basically, it talks about how you give your best when the clock is ticking. You cannot put this thing down. And I noticed over the weekend there was a good article in The Observer. I didn't get the gentleman's name who wrote it. But he was talking about how sports as a means to a higher end is something you teach, as opposed to rather than the end itself, that the win is the be-all, end-all. Did you happen to see the article in the Sunday paper?
I did, and it was actually, I think, both in the Raleigh paper and the Charlotte paper.
Oh, it's Raleigh as well.
Yeah, and it's sometimes I probably sound like the Don Quixote, you know, tilting at windmills kind of thing here, but I really believe that there's not a conflict between world-class performance and then virtue. And I think too often we accept the fact that to have really, really good athletics, we're going to have just, we got to take whatever we get. And I argue the point. I said, well, you know, why do we accept that that's the way it is? And I've always said that coaches should be teachers and mentors first. If they're not, that's where the problem really begin.
Now, the guy who wrote the foreword to your book got a technical over the weekend, didn't he?
He did. Now, again, I have to tell you, I didn't see it. I read about it.
It wasn't fair.
Okay. I mean, what I heard is that his back was to the court.
Coach K, we're talking about.
Yeah, his back was to the court. He tossed a pen or something, you know, towards the bench. From my standpoint, I don't get.
If you're on my timeout, it's on my dime.
Right.
Leave me alone. If I'm not facing you, if I'm not directing something at you.
Right.
Now, my wife will beg to differ with me. If we're having a disagreement and I say something off color just because I'm upset and I'm not directing at her, she takes it as I'm directing at her, so I guess I would get a technical in that situation. You know, I try not to, but, you know, I think that was a bad call. I think what you do inside of your timeout, you can say what you want to. Inside your locker room, you can do what you want to. That's your locker room. So I think that was a bad call, and I'm not going to talk about officials because I've been sworn to secrecy.
Right.
But I want to go back to your comment. When I coached high school sports, I always believed that there wasn't a reason why you could not get the maximum performance out of an athlete, but yet teach a life lesson.
Right.
I thought there was a bigger scope of what was going on with what you were doing.
Absolutely.
And what means more to me is for some kid that I coached to come up to me and say something about what I meant to them in their life, even if they didn't get a scholarship, even if they didn't go on, if they wasn't an all-conference player, but because they felt like I helped make them a better person because of the experience they had with athletics. And I don't understand why that still can't be. When I played late 70s, early 80s, I played for Danny Ford at Clemson. And I've had him on the show before. We've talked about it because it bothers me so much. When I went to Clemson, all I wanted to do was go to Clemson. If I was fortunate enough to make it to the next level, that was great. But all I wanted to do was go there and play. Now, 90% of the kids that go don't have that same goal. They're going there because they have to. That's their stepping stone to get to where they want to. I just think there's more to athletics, and especially when you talk about younger kids. I've got younger kids that are involved in athletics and travel softball and volleyball and different stuff. It's okay to teach winning because that's what life is about, but you need to teach some background and some basis for that as well.
And I'd argue that it's not just, hey, that's a nice extra on top of it. I'd argue that if you can make that happen, you've actually helped this athlete to be a truly better athlete. Not just not just a better person,
Your old school coaches believe that. Your younger coaches today don't believe that. They think it's all about them and the X's and O's and the wins and the losses.
But why not? How did that happen? I agree with Lynn.
It's a generational thing because a lot of the younger coaches that are coaching today have changed their methodology of how they think. I'll give you an example. When I was coaching, parents that had kids that were my age, the parents were my age, I wanted to smack the parent because of the things they let their kid do because, hey, you weren't raised that way. What are you doing? You know that that's not right. That's not the way we were brought up. But they tend to forget. It's all about the other picture that has nothing to do with succeeding in life. And when you look at the percentage of athletes that are going to make it to the next level, it's so small. And if you got a mom, I've had to leave a batting cage before because if I didn't, I was going to whip a daddy that was beating on his 10-year-old verbally because he wasn't hitting the ball. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I can't deal with that.
We were in sports medicine earlier on in my life, and I co-founded a physical therapy corporation. And I'd have parents come in, and I'd have a dad come in, and his 9-year-old has a tendonitis in his elbow because he's throwing curveballs. And so, I mean, physiologically, you're not made to do any of this stuff,
right?
You know? And so to force it along and think that you somehow can create a world-class athlete, I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. I mean, if you take the NFL as an example, take a look at NFL players. They are extraordinary human beings. I mean, there is something unique about every guy that plays in the NFL that is unusual. I mean, it's going to be his size, his speed. There is something that is way above anybody else. But the challenge or problem that I see is that very few coaches actually learn how to coach. In other words, how to actually help people with their skills, to master the skills and actually improve what they're doing. Too often it is all about the X's and O's. And then you're bereft of ideas, so all you can do is yell at people because they're not doing your X's and O's.
Dr. Thierfelder, you were a world-class athlete. Do you have a coach in mind that you still use sort of as your mentor? There was one guy who really connected with you, who taught you that it was more than just about the sport, it was about something bigger. Is there one person?
Yeah, this guy looked like an old sea captain. You know, his name was Joe Fox. He was my high school coach. And didn't know anything about high jumping, but this was a guy of character, and he demanded of you. He thought you were a man. I remember early in my high school, he'd say, "Thierfelder, go home and tell your mother not to throw out the baby with the bathwater." And at first, I don't know what the heck he's talking about. Throw out the baby with the bathwater. I mean, what he's basically saying is, you know what? I see something good in you, and we're going to try to get it out, you know, here over time. And he'd work with me, and he was very much a disciplinarian, and you know, he really helped shape my life and direct, you know, where I was going. That I wouldn't have done that otherwise. You know, without someone like that in my life.
Did he get you to peak performance in those days?
Yes. Well, he challenged me to even see things I didn't know about myself. He always had a sense of what I was really capable. He had a picture in his mind of what I could do.
But you didn't yet.
I didn't. And as a matter of fact, I would have probably underestimated myself, which is what I find almost universally. I don't care what level people are at. They underestimate what they really can do. And so when you have somebody that helps draw that out of you, not just through the encouragement, but actually has the skills or the expertise to actually bring your best skills out. You know, confidence doesn't come because you say you have it. It comes because you actually demonstrated something. So if I can consistently throw a certain way or hit a certain ball or whatever it might be, then guess what? I have confidence because I know I can hit it because I actually can hit it. It's not reversed. You don't start off with saying, I'm going to have confidence and now I'm going to hit a ball. I mean, yeah. It doesn't work that way.
I'm the best. You go in the ring and get knocked out. You tell yourself something
yeah.
false.
Yeah, then when you're laying there and you finally come conscious, you realize maybe it's not all true.
We had a caller just a minute ago. Didn't want to come on the air. His name is Wes. Wes called. He just wanted to say that he wanted to make the point that coaches coach the way they do because the pressure to win is greater than if they don't win, they get fired. And that's exactly right. The life cycle of coaches today has come so short. Who just got Virginia Tech's coach got fired today? What's his name, Stewart?
2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't even develop your recruiting class in 2 years in any sport in college to be able to do that. So he didn't get that. He didn't get the benefit of being able to do that.
But at that level, though, we are really talking business. This is about money. It's about making money, and it's like, if I don't get you to turn the business around like really quickly, we're moving on.
James Johnson,
that's right. That is correct. And, go back to the high school level like you were talking about. I'll give you another example. As I said, I played high school ball mid to late 70s. My dad was a very big supporter and an old ball player himself. And one of the other things that happened is I never knew when I was in school for a long time, he wasn't that crazy about my head coach, didn't like some of the things he did. But what he did do or didn't do, he never said anything to me about it. Mm-hmm. He never said anything to the coach about it. As long as that coach wasn't physically or verbally abusing me,
right,
then that was his call.
Yep.
And
it's part of the lesson, too.
Now the parents are the first one to start screaming, well, my kid's better than that kid. I've told Al about the story of JV basketball. I had a mama pin me at halftime. Mind my son starting. I mean, I got the kids around me. We're coming out of the dressing room. He's better than they are. I've seen him play in the backyard. He's much better than they are. And I'm like, well, when he shows me at practice on this court, he can
start. What
he's
doing in the backyard.
I said, but here's the deal. He's playing as much. He was six man. I said, he's playing as much as the guy that he's replacing. He's just not starting. I think he's a better player coming off the bench. And until he shows me otherwise, that's the way we're going to stay. And you can question why I'm not playing your kid, and I'll explain to you. And my practice is open. I mean, I think there has to be transparency there for you to do that. One of my high school coaches, I'm still very good friends with him. I always loved all of my coaches that I played for. But they tried to bring out, as you said, what's in you, because they knew the end result of bringing out what you did best and giving you that confidence would benefit the team.
Absolutely.
Instead of the other way around. Right. And that's not the way it is. Now so many coaches think they know what it's all about. You just need to do it my way instead of making sure that that person is being driven from the inside.
Right. And again, it's something that coaches, it's kind of an insidious relationship if you think about it. Athletes come out, if they didn't get it from their coach, they don't have that experience, they now go on to become coaches. You can't give what you don't have.
That's right.
So if you haven't learned these things, and I think we've lost a lot of the great old-time coaches who were really good. Now, they weren't perfect people.
And they were hard
men. They were hard men, and sometimes you didn't like them.
Yeah.
But, there was something about what they brought out of you and what they helped you to achieve. And sometimes you did it maybe despite them, But the point is, this all counted. This all mattered. Today,
when Lombardi said, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing, we still have that hangover, don't we? I mean,
I was going to say, from a pure sports performance standpoint, though, the winning doesn't make you win. It's focusing on what it takes to win, and the byproduct is you win.
You've got to have the desire, and the confidence inside will produce
and
the win.
Mastery. You've got to be able to master skills. Mm-hmm. If you can actually master something, you're going to win.
That's right. Let me take a time out. We'll be back with more here with Dr. Bill Therfelder, Al Gardner, and myself. I'll tell you about my sophomore film study, where I was something on the bottom of an ocean that came from a whale, right here on the bottom line. ESPN 730 and ESPN730.com.
ESPN 730 Charlotte, your home for national, regional, and local sports talk with Mike and Mike. The Herd with Colin Cowherd. The David Glenn Show. The Pulse and the Bottom Line. Your home for Charlotte sports. ESPN 730. From the ESPN 730 studios in Charlotte, this is SportsCenter.
The Charlotte Bobcats look to stay hot tonight as they host the Atlanta Hawks at Time Warner Cable Arena. The Cats, fresh off a win yesterday in Milwaukee, look to get their record back to 500 with a win over Atlanta. Right now, the Hawks have won the first two against Charlotte this year. Bobcats currently seventh in the East. Hawks.